Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley. This message is by Jonathan Dyke.
Well, welcome. It's great to be. I love spending my Sundays with you guys. What a joy. It takes me about an hour to get here because I live right down by the seaside. But in that hour, before that hour really, just being locked in my car, it's a really nice car, thank you Jesus, but what makes it an awesome car is when God sits in the seat next to me. And you might be thinking, oh, that's why you drive so badly. I have no idea where you're thinking. Take that thought captive, hallelujah. But what I want to talk to you about today is something which I believe by the grace of God is going to ignite something in you which makes you want to do something different. And as Pastor was just sharing some strategy about homes, and I like the stuff about prayer, the stuff about reaching out, what we're talking about, it isn't something that's just suddenly arrived in the morning. But it's been decreed over centuries, and we're just catching it in the morning. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And I thank God for the sun. And if you're part of the church, you just come along to the church recently, you'll be very thankful that today's the last day of prayer and fasting. See, there's a good response there. I had a response there. And before I was a Christian, I mean, fasting was just a really weird word for me because my concept was I fasted between every meal anyway. So what's the point? There is no point in it. But what I believe God has put in our hearts as church together, and again, on the video that Pastor Clive did, one of the things that I love about Kingdom Faith, and one of the privileges really that I have, which maybe not everybody has, is for the last six Sundays, I've been in six different churches, but they're all part of the same church. I've been inside the UK, outside the UK, but they're all part of the same church. And I know some of you have responded to guys here reaching out to you in love and in faith and in testimony. And one of the things that I want you to get is you're part of something bigger than your condition. You're part of something bigger than your life. You're part of something bigger than your situation. So I was sharing something last week up in Essex. This kind of revelation came to me. It's like, oh, I don't know, I didn't see that before. Just find your finger, any finger. Then you've got 10 seconds to find somebody else with a finger identical to yours that isn't on your hand. Don't worry about it, you never will, because your fingerprint is unique. Did you know that? Of course you know that, because you're smart in Crawley. You are smart people. Well, come on, I'm speaking out. You're smart people. However, your voice is also unique to you. In fact, your voice is as unique to you as your fingerprint is as unique to you. And I believe God's done that on purpose, because even if we don't really know God very much, or even if we don't know God at all, God recognizes every single voice from every 7 billion person on the face of the world. That, because God has the ability to do that. And this song, this is a bit of a ramble to begin with. Is that okay? Go with me. If you get bored, slap yourself. If you don't, I might come and help you with that, but that's fine. That first song that we sang, I Will Raise a Hallelujah. Do you remember that one at the beginning? You need to turn it up to 11. You need to put that onto your own default playlist in your own heart and mind. Because for me, there's a real connection in my heart with that particular song. I won't go into all the detail, other than it was on my playlist on repeat every day for 9 months. Because I wanted God to educate my life with his life. If I make a choice to agree with who he is, he does who he is to me. I'll just say that one again. If I agree to agree with who God is, he does who he is to me. Woo! So when it comes to that bit, I'll shout a little louder. I don't need a huge amount of encouragement to shout. You may agree with that. You may not know me enough, and you're too kind. But what I've realized is that in the life that God wants us to live, there is something he does with our voice, which when we raise it above the sound of the voice on the inside, we find a new breakthrough in our life. And part of the reason why this was on my kind of playlist recurring every day, I probably listen to it 20, 30 times a day. Because my body was telling me a different song. My symptoms were singing a different tune. My medical prognosis at that time was not singing the same song. Come on now. In other words, my life was not matching up to how God wanted my life to be. So rather than sing about, oh, woe is me, poor old me, my legs fall, rather than sing a song that agreed with my condition, I took a choice. I will sing. Like Psalm 145, I will praise. Come on, there is a power. If you know Christ today, man, you're dangerous to your symptoms. You're dangerous to your condition. All you need to do is will. I will praise you. Even if it hurts, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's all gloomy boomy, even if I'm believing too much of the government, I will praise you anyway. That's what hallelujah means. God be praised, doesn't it? And I'll shout a little louder. And again, in my experience, I want to share this with you because I think sometimes we have a lot of people that tell us what to do, but not necessarily how. And I want to help you how to live in victory every day. How is it you wake up and choose to? How do you do that? You're going to wake up. Going to break the spirit of duvet. Do you know what that spirit of duvet is? The spirit of a duvet says, just 5 minutes more. Everybody resonates to the spirit of duvet, right? I believe it is a spirit that manifests in everybody's life, particularly for a teenager. you either know one or you have one or you were one. So you know what I'm talking about. However, there is a greater spirit that operates, and that's the spirit of lift. Come on. How I choose to start my morning is not dependent on the morning, but upon my choice. Your choice. And I just want to exhort and encourage you. When you wake up, again, I've been doing this for years and years and years, so I'm not telling you something that should be done. I'll do this. Is when I open up my eyes, I want to open up my eyes to the hills. So I'm not looking around at what's going on at this level. It's like, okay, Lord, what's happening today? And this is one of the cores of home hubs that Pastor explained. It's part of it is look up. You understand that? Look up. But it isn't just about having 10 hours of praise and worship. No, I'm looking up because that's where I know my help is going to come from. So I wake up thinking, okay, Lord, I need some help today. Man, I'm going to Crawley this morning. And they're scary people. On this side, you're amazing. You are lovely. Because what I've decided is I don't want to go anywhere just out of my own life experience. Because I believe there are part of this kind of message for this morning in a roundabout kind of way. And I'm just going to pick up on something Elsie said. I love Elsie. She's amazing, great spirit. You've already got a field of your harvest. So when Elsie said, oh, we go out in the field, I go out every day in the field. Every day I go outside of my own life, it is my field. When I go outside of my door, it is the harvest in the field. Amen. Come on now. So part of what I want to kind of challenge you, exhort you with, is based on some realities that I've experienced in the last 40 years of God can save or bring to the knowledge of him multitudes all at once. I've seen it. Hundreds come to Christ at once. On one occasion, I saw probably over 1,000 come to Christ at once. But what I've discerned is first he listened to every single voice. It wasn't mob movement. It wasn't crowd dynamics. It was Jesus hearing the voice of every person saying, I need some help here, and he's my help. Do you understand that? So don't be put off by scale. Equally, when particularly when I was working not far from here, at the Immigration Detention Centre at Tinsley House, which I did there for 12 years, I saw 3,000 people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in 10 years. That was not en masse. That was not a big crusade. You came into some of those things. But this was one at a time. Come on now. That all the glory goes to Jesus. But what I want to help to exhort you with is you have an outreach field. It's called your life. You have a message. It's called your relationship with Jesus. You all do. So I love this congregation. I love our church because we do outreaches, but I love it more because we reach out. And what I want to try and help you with is how do we reach out? So here's the first practical thing that I've experienced, okay? You don't know anybody that doesn't need to know more about Jesus. I'll say that one again. You don't know anybody, brackets, including people sat in the room here right now, that doesn't need to know more about Jesus. Because the more and more I've discovered who Jesus is, the more I've realized I don't know who he is. Because he's just so big. He is so amazing. He is so glorious. He is just so large. But yet every morning I can know a bit more who he is. You see, I believe that when we were born with two kinds of life operating. One, and if you've done the whole kind of in Christ Jesus or come to DNA, which starts again, I think, in September, we explain the difference between being of the spirit and being of the soul, or the Bible calls it the flesh. So just pinch yourself. Did you feel that? Because if you did, you're alive. If you didn't feel that, we'll just raise you up and you will be alive. Everybody's born with feelings. Everybody's born with emotion. Everybody's born with a mind. But the Bible calls this the bios. Ooh, it's gone a bit reverby. Ooh, no. Just me. Maybe I've just gone reverby. In Luke 18:14, it speaks about the parable of the sower, and the word of God goes in the ground, and sometimes worry and concern strangles it. In other words, there are things that happen in our experience, there are life events that go on, and we yield the life of God to those things, and therefore the life of God is not seen. But I want to encourage you today. He that is in you, if you've given your life to Christ, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And no weapon fashioned against you. It might be a bit noisy in the heat of battle, but the battle belongs to the Lord. But guess what? When you become a Christian, you belong to the Lord. Therefore, the battle also belongs to you. I'll do that one again. So Scripture says the battle belongs to the Lord. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. But also, and God's not interested so much in winning the battles. He's already won the battle. What he's interested in is winning us. That's why Proverbs says it's smart to win a city for God. And I believe as church, we're becoming a bit smarter because we're beginning to reach the city for God. How do you reach your street one person at a time? So in our little street, we got just over 40 homes. And I made a decision during COVID is I'm not going to let the sound of COVID restrict the sound of God's life. So every day, I wasn't just out there banging the pots and pans on a Thursday. I was out there praying round my little road every single day for that whole year, 8 months. Nobody asked me to do that. I chose to do that. Now, I wasn't being loud or this. I was just throwing grenades of God's word and God's love into the environment because I know, having kind of studied warfare, first you've got to soften up the atmosphere of the enemy. Come on. And there were all kinds of people there. Probably over 100 people lived there. Today, I've seen 4 or 5 of them come to Christ. I'm now on first name terms with over 25 homes there. Why? Because the life of God is full. And sometimes Sometimes when we're reaching out to people, we have to first know that person needs to know more about the love of God. That's okay, we can kind of get that, but we also we have to take responsibility, and maybe that's what I'm going to do today. So we can be very outward in terms of expectation. They need to know the love of God. But we take ourselves out of the equation when actually God is probably going to use you to do that. Yeah. Does that make sense? Because if we don't, what will happen? It's this amazing life that Jesus said came, I have come that you may have life. Do you know what that word is? Zoe. God's fullness, God's eternal. You can't stop it. You can't quench it. You can't kill it. The world tried to kill it, and guess what? Death died. That's pretty serious. Death tried to kill the life of Jesus, and death died. Jesus. Sharing the last few weeks in some other countries that, you know, being a Christian is not so easy. I made this statement. I'm going to make it again here. I can take you to the burial site of every God there is, except one. And that's Jesus. Because he's not dead, he's alive. Amen. Come on now. And that life, that power, that eternal life, that steadfast life, that resilient life, is the life he came to give you and to give me. What we need to learn is how do I share that life and not just good ideas. The bios, the feelings. That's where we get the word biology from. Because you knew that because you're smarting, Crawley. You've all got smartphones. I know it because you've all now signed up for mykindoffaith.com. In Matthew 16:25, it says another aspect of this, the suke. If we want to keep our life, we will lose it. But this is the life that we can feel and touch and see and comment on. This is our psychological life, which is where psychology comes from, this word. But when you give your life to Jesus, and I discovered this, and you will have if you've done this, is that when you wake up in the next morning, you look the same, and yet you look different. Because the Bible says that this life that we receive through Christ, he changes our outward from the inside out, not from the outside in. Does that come up behind me? That's really good. Hey, he's good. So it's our theme about sharing life. The question is, what kind of life is it that God wants us to share? And what kind of life is it that we are sharing? And I want to go through some practices because we're going to need to have to change some things, just change some approaches so that we allow God to show us some truths about people. Generally, people love the values of Jesus, but they don't like the name of Jesus. Why? Because there is power resident in the name of Jesus itself. Come on. Because that is name. But we sang a song. We speak Jesus. Think what's happening when we were speaking Jesus. We weren't just filling the room with a nice sound. We were changing the atmosphere over our hearts and lives. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. This is why to develop this lifestyle of reaching out, you got to have a mouth that is open. We don't touch people's lives by thinking only. Ooh. You understand that? That's certainly my experience. So what I've learned, and again, you might go, that's not me. It could be. Is I deliberately have a conversation with somebody that I don't know. I just do it on purpose. But there are ways to do that and there are ways not to do that. So when I was really young in my faith, I used to come up and say, oh, do you know Jesus, my friend? I'm not that bold. I wasn't that bold then. But I just believe in my heart that all of you that know Christ, all of you that are very much part of this community, you're already doing that, but maybe not using those words. How you live, how you love, how you do life in the best way you know how to is sharing the life of God. My question is, can we see more of that? Do you understand that? Because we're not here to build a psychological community. We're not here because we all think the same. We're not all here because we all feel the same. We're all here because we believe in the same. And his name is Jesus. One Lord, one baptism, one spirit. So how do we kind of develop this, I hear you ask? How do we develop this, I hear you ask? How do we? That was your turn. You had a moment there and you missed it. I think there are some principles that I'm going to share from Scripture that will help you share the life of God to the people that you already know, and then give you opportunities to share the life of God with those that you don't yet already know. Because you already know somebody, and you're already sharing life with that somebody. The question is, how? And what? And what are they getting? First thing is a choice. Prayer and fasting is interesting. We're going to be looking at a book called Colossians. Colossae was a great little church. But this is a devotional approach, which I've prayed through, worked through, but applied for years, because I want to make it something that I do, not just something that I know I should do. Is that okay? I have no idea what the time is. Anybody got a decent watch? It's 4:15. Right, let's go. We're in Colossians chapter 4, aren't we? Come on, Steve. Steve's got all the answers up there. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. It always starts with the heart. I don't just mean that we're praying for our neighbours. That's part of it. What I mean is that we're watching how God is moving with our neighbours, and we're thankful that he will. And again, some of it came out in some of the narrative of this morning, which I love. Is we're not waiting for God to save my neighborhood. I want to see them as saved already, and I'm going to communicate them so that they are. Something has to start with the eye of our heart before it starts with the reason of our head. Come on now. Because quite often as people, we don't always find it easy to share life with people anyway, but especially with people that don't look like us. How many of you know that God's life is for all who believe in him and receive from him? So God's limit of his life is not the same as ours. He uses words like, all who call upon my name will be saved. Call upon me while I'm near. But this devotion, this self-will choice, I'm going to pray for the person next to me. I'm not going to wait for a prompt. I'm not going to wait for a funny feeling. I'm going to discipline myself until I delight in doing it. And even when I'm out on the street, what it will begin to do by the grace of God, it will change how you see that street you've walked on for 20 years, because you'll see it's yours. And I don't mean that in some prideful way. I mean that is that you have responsibility to determine what walks along it. Come on now. Devote yourself to prayer, I believe, is God's methodology of changing our hearts so that we become available to see every opportunity. Come on. So it's a devotion of heart, but devotion means a bit of effort, but not effort of our mind or effort of our emotional life, but we just need to surrender to the will and purposes of God. So tomorrow morning, can I just encourage you, when you get up, whatever time that is, you break the power of the spirit of duvet and you arise and shine, hallelujah. The first thing that you need to be starting to say, because you won't think this yet, but you need to hear yourself speak it, is I'm going to rejoice in today. I'm going to delight in you today. If you don't say it, you won't hear it. I wish it was easier than that, but in my experience, it is not. I will delight in you. It's Monday. Oh, that would work. Come on, another opportunity for God to move. If you don't say it, you won't hear it. And more importantly, the day won't hear it. because it's my conviction, having worked in engineering and worked in the church for many years and just seen life and worked with hundreds of different people all over the place, is God's life shapes the day you have. It should not be the other way around. There used to be a saying, if you brought anything and it kept breaking down, people would say, well, it was a Friday thing. Friday afternoon car or a Friday laptop or a Friday smartphone. Because in the mentality of people, when it got to Friday, they were going home, weren't they? So things got missed out, left off. On a Monday, it was a bit, well, I don't want to hear. But God's life is not like that. He doesn't do days. He just does, today's gone, but today's here, and today is a day for you to delight in and do what God wants you to do. Don't even worry about tomorrow. But devotion helps create a heart where we seize the day. We determine the day. And this is brilliant. When I first got saved, I ended up in an engineering company of 100 people. Their language was not the same as my language anymore. It was like, I just have to translate that now. Thank you, there was a filter. But as I began to walk near them, I was just praying for them. They didn't know I was praying for them. At lunchtime, I was praying for them. Then I felt God say to me, buy them lunch on a Friday. So I brought all the heads of departments, that's 15 of them, lunch every Friday. And they never knew it was me until the day I left. And that happened for 7 years. There was a whole lot of people there of different faiths, and I just loved them. It's like, oh, you're so caught up in all this stuff. Have the life. By the time I'd finished, there was a small group of 10, all newly saved, from different religions, different faiths, different traditions. But you've got to invest yourself into it first. Come on. So devotion is a key. What is it that we're asking? Pray for us that God will open a door for our message. Today is a day that God is opening up a door in your home, in your family, in your marriage, in your workplace, in your marketplace. Why? Because the Bible says over our lives there is an open door. Therefore, his life applied in my life is there's an open door for me too. Come on now. Doesn't mean that you're out there giving everybody scriptures all the time. No, live them first, describe them afterwards. So part of the conversation that we have is, why are you not worried about this pandemic? Because God's for me. That's it. If I come back again, I'll give them some more. If I come back again, I'll give them some more. But now they're coming to me because they know I have someone that they don't have. Particularly recently, we've had 4 losses of spouses in the last 6-7 months. And they've all come to us. We don't know what to do. Can you help us? After 7 years of sowing. Come on now. You've got to go for the long term. That's why being in the body of Christ is so powerful. Because together we can run fast. Sorry, on our own we can run fast, but together we can run far. So all of you, including me, are here because someone devoted themselves to pray for us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Pray for us that God opens a door. So part of our expectations today, there's going to be a door for me. I want to walk through it. Give me the grace to walk through it. Give me the boldness to walk through it. You don't determine what the door is. You just determine that there is one. Yeah, come on. I think somebody mentioned about praying for people, talking to people in queues. I used to do that a lot. I would queue up for something and I never knew what was at the end of it. You know, the British like queuing, right? But I like the British. But it's the same in Italy. I'll just go to Italy and they're queuing there and I don't even know the language. I'll just stand there in the queue. What are you waiting for? I have no idea. Waiting for you. Come on, because for me, the queue, the thing at the end of the queue is not the object, it's the person in the queue. So that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. What you'll discover when you discover that this life that God has given you is amazing is also it's captivating. And even if you don't feel that comfortable with just sharing faith with people, it's like, you know, I know this person that can really help you with this loss, really help you with this pain. His name's Jesus. Can I introduce you to him? You may not be that comfortable with that, but you will do if you start to do it. you are actually the only one that clenches your mouth together. The Bible says that when I open my mouth, God will fill it. God's not a dentist. Come on now. But first, he wants to fill our heart, and then out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But can I just exhort and encourage you, we've only got 6 minutes left, that your life is an example of the life of Christ as long as it's the light of the light of Christ and not the bushel. Hello. And you can decide which one it is. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Again, generally I've seen and I've noticed in my own life and with helping others, is quite often we don't think we're very good at talking. I challenge that because I heard the noise when I came in. Everybody's good at talking. I haven't found anybody that isn't good at talking. They might not be good at talking in a certain area, but they're all good at talking. The question is, what are they talking about? Sorry, I've got time to go into that. But there's a whole thing about we live under the words that we speak. Or we live under the words that we hear people speak. So come on, don't stop telling yourself you're no good at sharing your life because it's just not true. You're brilliant at it because you've got the essence of life in you, Christ Jesus. All we need to do is break the vessel. I learned many, many years ago, God's got loads of oil. He's just looking for some wicks to burn. Yeah. We're going to come through this a little bit quicker than we normally do. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Don't try and confuse people with your religious language, your Christianese. Because most people that I know just don't get it. They just don't get it. Be the word to them. Affirm faith. Don't agree when it's not true. Comfort those who mourn. Don't tell him, well, it's your own. Don't go down there. Be wise. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit is eternally wise? Right, we need his help here. So the first bit is my choice. I devote myself. As soon as I do that, the Holy Spirit begins to dominate the choice. Be wise. Sometimes, increasingly, you'll just get that one question that unlocks a heart. You'll get that one phrase which resounds with an emotional need. Because the Holy Spirit will tell you what they won't tell you. I've lost count of the hundreds of conversations I've had that have been a little bit like Jesus's, whence, give me a drink of water. I'm here to hear about a physical need, and then boom, it goes somewhere else. Expect that to happen. That's why you've got two ears. All I'm saying is don't save it for the first Saturday of the month next month. That will help you, because one thing that I have noticed is that when I used to travel with Eric Casto a lot, he's just mad. But his faith is mad, he's not mad. And it helped me be mad. Because it's like, I know what he's really like. But then God knows what we're really like, doesn't he? And he still wants to use you. So let's be wise with outsiders. Let's measure our language. But also let's commit to the people that we meet. And again, with our neighborhood, we've committed to people there. We've got their names. We know their names. We're praying their names every day. When we see them, it's like, hi, whatever, how are you doing? Bless you. They've forgotten my name, but I haven't forgotten. Try not to forget theirs. Because it's about sharing life with them. We've got 3 minutes left. Let your conversation always, say always, be full of grace and seasoned with salt. Salt brings flavor. And it may be for some of you, because we're going to break bread in a moment, which for me, if you want to know what sharing life looks like, it looks like that. Jesus shared his life for you and me beyond the natural life that he had. Come on now. But when we're seasoned with salt, here's a little clue about seasons of salt. If we feel we used to be really good at just being open and honest with people, now we haven't. My friend, we don't need another lesson on outreach. We need the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says in Mark, he's the one that brings salt. He salts us. He doesn't assault us. He salts us. He gives our language flavor, which challenges the world's narrative. Will we land this? I think we will. So how do we do this? How much do we really love God? You don't have to answer that now. Are we really building friendship, relationship with anybody? Do we like people? I love God, but I don't like people. Because we've got to deal with all of that. And I think God's going to deal with that in the next few moments when we break bread. Because I believe, as I've been praying, as I was coming in my one-hour journey, is I believe God wants to salt our heart and our spirit afresh. He wants to salt our spirit so that tomorrow, I'm going to try this out. I'm just going to devote myself to the Lord today. Lord, you use me. You speak through me. You open up my ears. You open up my heart. You open up my mouth. I'm not going to hold back when I need to go forward. That kind of thing. But also it's going to salt our mouths. So when we speak, it's not about loads of words. It's about what's in the words. Let's all stand up, shall we? There's many other things, just thoughts and practical things that we could talk about. If you've got someone, particularly with the home hubs dynamic, that's really a powerful tool because there's common ground there. There's a common passion there. There's a common longing there. And I would always encourage everybody, there was a reason why Jesus sent people out two at a time. And that's so that they could not just devote themselves to the Lord, but devote themselves to one another. And one of the things which I did for many, many years with a friend of mine that got saved was I said, right, let's meet up every week and pray for someone in our family to get saved. And we're going to keep doing that until they do. And we kept ourselves accountable. And then one by one, after 3, 4, 5 years, they began to get saved. So we added them into the group. Just close your eyes a moment. It does all go dark, but we're not afraid of the dark. Father, I want to thank you that the Bible says that Jesus came that we would have Zoe, eternal life, and life in all its fullness. I thank you that the life that we had is nothing compared with the life that you offer. It's an exchange. We give you our life, and you give us of your life. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that in our own hearts and in our own lives, in our own situation, we make that choice afresh. Lord, I want to live for you. That by the grace of God, we love the people around us more than we love ourselves. Holy Spirit, I pray for every heart here that even now you're speaking to them about how your life works. But I want to thank you that with the table set out ahead of us, we have a very physical demonstration of what that life led to. That you laid down your life for me and for everybody under the sound of my voice. Even before we knew you, you laid down your life for us. Even when the Bible says we were enemies, we hated you, we didn't know you, we couldn't stand you, we cursed you. We cursed ourselves. Even when we were a mess, you still knew us and you still loved us. I'm so thankful. And even this morning, as we come and take hold as a reminder of how you lay down your life for us, not just then, but you lay down your life for us all the time. is I pray that that life, that power, that health, that strength, that victory, that redemptive life that is in God will be transferred, renewed into our lives. That we will be restored, revived, repaired. There will be healing taking place in the moment because your life is greater than natural life. That you have defeated death and sin. You've defeated ailments and rejection. You've taken guilt and you've taken shame and you've taken isolation and you've dealt with it because of the body and because of the blood. And I thank you that as we step forward in a moment, your life is going to impact our life in a whole new kind of way. We're going to hear stuff, see stuff, speak stuff. We're going to walk different, sound different, just be different because of the life of God being more dominant in our lives now than it was yesterday. And I thank you, Jesus, that you chose for all of us to be here today. Even if we're here for the first time, you chose us to be here today so that we can feed on you. So, Father, I want to thank you that on the night that you were betrayed, the night when the enemy voice was the loudest, when the riot was the loudest, when murder was the loudest, when death was, on the night when everything was the loudest, you said, I've been longing for this. I just don't get it, God. I thank you so much for it. I just don't get it. When the whole world was about to betray you, you said, I have been longing for this. Because you knew, and we begin to know, that in this one act, you have totally changed time. You've totally changed possibility. And you offer change to everyone in this place today. Now, whoever takes and eats of me shares in the body. Whoever takes the cup shares in the blood. So I thank you that today your blood is speaking health and healing. Your blood is speaking restoration and revival. Your blood is speaking redemption and purpose. I thank you that your body is saying you belong to me, not to anybody else. Partake and participate in the reward that I have won for you. Have we got any kind of background music for this, Steve? Or do we have a band up here? Or how are we going to do this? But again, if you know kind of Christ and you know Christ knows you, please come and there's some bread under the plates. Andy, could you just take that one off for me? Oh, okay. Come and take some. Come up when you're ready. But don't just come to a table. Come to the one that is giving you Christ himself and participate in everything that Christ has done for us. Just come and take some bread, come and take a cup, give thanks. Bring your requests before God, the Bible says. So between your chair and the table, saying, God, I need this. God, I'm expecting that. God, I'm looking for this. And I'm going to find it when I find you in a fresh way. He wants to share his life with us today. Expect a rush of his life. Expect maybe something to just go ping on the inside of your life. Expect something to happen to you as you receive from the reminder, Christ has done it all. Maybe when you're receiving the bread and the wine, maybe you're sensing, actually be good to pray with someone. If that's you, please do that. They may be near you, they may not be near you. Because quite often when we receive the gifts of communion like this, it's a very corporate thing. Maybe God wants to use you to share life with someone. Maybe a word, maybe a scripture, maybe just God's just going to heal them through you. I have no idea. But just go for it. Okay? We've got minutes. We've paid for the building all day. So let's use it. Maybe you just have no idea. It's like, what is he been talking about? What is this life that Jesus says? Maybe you want to know more about it. Well, come and have a conversation with me or with some of the guys that were singing or with Pastor or Elsie. So I want to know more about Jesus. What does it mean, this life? We'd love to talk to you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.